faith of our fathers, and of course that hymn is about the faithfulness of those that have gone before us serving the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing for a father to have in their repertoire, that they've been one that stood for the Lord. But I greet you today, fathers, and all the rest of us today. It is Father's Day. I hope that you've shown our Father in heaven today, first of all, that you love him, but also our earthly fathers, if you still have them with us, and that fathers would love their children and their wives, even as Christ has loved the church. So in Jesus' name, I greet you this morning. And it's a wonderful day. It is the day that the Lord has made. Thankfully, he's even given us some beneficial showers this morning. And maybe you and I are all in spiritual droughts. But let's pray that the showers from the Lord's word will touch our hearts today. But it's a wonderful day to be alive and a wonderful day to serve the Lord. So let's stand this morning. I want to welcome every one of you. We're going to sing to begin with. Let's sing to our shepherd today, if Jesus is your shepherd. And he's one that we certainly want to have lead us, and then we'll remain standing for our invocation. Welcome to our services today, one and all. 576, or it's on our screen. Yes, I'm sorry, 576.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. Thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Our way, keep thy flock from sin, defend us just when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus. Hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy face. Savior, thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us,
Let's remain standing for our invocation. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for this wonderful day, fully displaying your grace and mercy toward mankind yet once again. Now today, Lord, here in the United States, we recognize this as Father's Day, a day to honor fathers. But we also are reminded, Lord, that this is our Father or your world. So our Father in heaven, we acknowledge today what a wonderful dad you've been. All of us that are here that are earthly fathers have our flaws, but you are perfect, O Lord. Thank you for your tender care and your Son Jesus Christ as our shepherd for the believer. Thank you for loving your sheep. Help us to learn from you every day, Heavenly Father, about love. And I pray today for the men here and for those of these men that are fathers or will become fathers at one time, by your grace, Lord, that we would take this very seriously, what you have done for us. We thank you today for the gathering, the assembly, the called out ones, the church. And I pray today, Lord, that at this time we would put all the other baggage aside and lift you high and worship you today, Lord, in spirit and in truth. You are so good to us, O Lord. Thank you so much for what you've done. Now I pray for all the folks that are here today, again, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. May we really appreciate too, Lord, I know we don't, as we should, this gathering of your family. And so, Lord, I pray that we would really think about that today. You know, there may be limited days here on this earth for all of us. And, Lord, we'll be with you one day, but may we again appreciate and enjoy what you've given us this day. Now, we pray for our flock here, Lord. We pray, first of all, for the community of Muscatine and Fruitland, the outlying areas. Lord, that they would be gathered into your flock, that you would keep us strong and be a good witness and a light that reflects your light to them. But Lord, we pray for those in our number that are ill today or struggling with grief. Lord, some that may be angry with you today or angry with their spouse or their children. Some may be traveling today, Lord. All types of things that affect man's plight. But Lord, we want to adore you and praise you today in this service. Help us, I pray, to have joyful hearts. And now, Lord, may you be pleased in what takes place here today as we gather. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, this refreshing rain this morning, that's been a wonderful thing, hasn't it? Yeah, reminder of God's goodness. And we've been a little bit parched here lately. If I could interest you in looking at the right-hand side of your bulletin or up at the screen this morning, excuse me, just a few things that we need to take into account for the upcoming week. One thing, too, that I would like us to do this morning is to have a little show of hands, realizing that 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, is July 4th. And historically, when that falls on that day, a Sunday, we usually do not have an evening service that day. Because obviously people are with families and going to the fireworks and things of that nature. So would that be acceptable again this time that we would not have church on 4th of July evening? Show of hands, in favor or against? Okay, those against. I think we will not have that service that night, so take that into account. Now, on with our program here. Also, some of you may want to know or would be interested in a gentleman that many of us knew here for years at Fruitland. Paul Stewart has gone home to be with the Lord Friday evening, so just so you're aware of that. Anyone that's interested in VBS this year and helping, come to the meetings. There's a meeting on June 26th to begin with from 1 to 3, and the 26th would be a Saturday, I believe. This meeting is also for workers already signed up, and then there is a child worker training class on July 18th. That's a Sunday at 4:30. This is a mandatory class if you're working with children. We did not have a training session last year due to COVID, and so everyone will need to come to this, and there are no exceptions, and it is not going to be held again. So this is the day if you're going to work with children. This will certify you for 2 years. And we'll talk about some of the requirements at that time. Also, Jesus and Youth Club, last day for the summer is August 1st, and then that will resume after Labor Day. I believe also that women's Bible study is over for the summer. Is that correct? Someone, was it you, Beth, that told me? Yes. Go ahead.
No, I didn't tell you, but yeah, it was decided.
Okay. All right. But let me tell you, that doesn't stop us from studying, right? There's no summer vacation for the Christian. Anyway, take note of those things. Also, Wilton Bible Study this Thursday at 6 o'clock, Presbyterian Church Basement in Wilton. That's been a very active study here lately. We're in some really controversial issues, so if you feel like fighting, or you feel like letting the Holy Spirit convict you as we work through some of these things, you know, not everything is crystal clear in the sense that, you know, we have to determine some of the things that God has for us, and not everything is easy, but he does have an answer, and I believe that's why we study. Anyway, men's Bible study, Saturday the 26th at 9 o'clock, and disregard the women's Bible study that's listed there. Pastor's thought for the week: father failures, family falls, future fractured, but the Father forgives. Jeff.
Above that, it's not in the bulletin, it mentions fellowship next Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
So,
fellowship. Yep, this will get us back onto the appropriate schedule. Fellowship, and be early afternoon service. Next Sunday is our children's message. So you'll want to bring some food, but even if you don't bring food, bring yourself. There will be plenty to eat. I've never seen any of us starve, so you're welcome to that.
Amen.
Are there other things? Kimmy?
Yes, there's a list on the bulletin board in the back for food donations for BDS.
Okay, so take that into account. And who else? Bill.
We have the retreat coming up that you can talk to people on.
Yes. Yeah, I'll just take a couple of seconds here to talk, but I'm going to introduce this. Maybe next Sunday is when I'll do this. We do have several events coming this fall, but the first one is men's retreat, and it's called Gearheads in the Gospel. And so we're beginning now to get some things in. I have our advertisement published in a collector's newsletter already. And Bill is working with some of that data, and myself and Jason. The Solaces are on vacation today, but I want you to be involved in this, and there is going to be things for everyone to do, and it is not hard stuff, but it'll be a very enjoyable thing, and we hope to fill this whole lot up with people. We're publicizing this quite broadly, but the big thing is that people would come and hear the message of the gospel and be saved, or redirected in their walk with the Lord. So there will be a meeting, I think it's the 13th, isn't it? Or the 11th, July 11th. Yeah, 7 and 4 is 11. Let's see, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, the 11th of July in the afternoon. We're getting into the thick of this now, and I really would encourage even ladies to come to that, but there will be plenty for them to do as well, and you don't have to cook. It's light and fluffy stuff, serving the Lord, you'll enjoy it. Everything's going to be done very simply, and I'll illustrate that further. But I really would encourage men. I encourage our men of the church to get involved in this, and it'll be good for us working together as a team, but it'll also be an outreach that could be very popular and have a great impact. So don't drop the ball on that, but be encouraged. It'll be a great time, and we're looking forward to that. So you'll hear more specifically in that, but if you have questions, talk to some of our guys or talk to myself. And what this is, there will be two preaching services, one on a Friday evening, one on a Saturday morning. But it's a gathering of people that like the gearhead stuff, cars, trucks, tractors. We're even going to have a garden tractor plow day down at the field in the afternoon that day. So this could be a very well-attended event, and I pray that that will be the case. And it's a challenge, though, for Fruitland. We need to be reaching out to people, and hopefully this will be something specifically that will open the door to men. All right, with that said, are there any other announcements or questions?
Professor?
Yes, sir.
Can I read this question?
Sure.
Dear church family, my sincere thanks for your prayers, cards, gifts to our family. I so appreciate all the help with the luncheon for Bill. All the details were taken care of. I can always count on all of you. Special thank you to Pastor John. His calls and his help to me. When I couldn't stand, he helped to hold me up. This church meant so much to Bill. He has a bigger church now, but one that doesn't have to have any repairs done to it. Love you all, Zelpha and family. Thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie, and of course we always miss our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we know when they're home with the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. And always remember, you know, the Bible says our works, we're not saved by works, but our works follow us into heaven. And we have many things that we could be doing on this side of eternity to prosper the Lord's cause. And God takes account of those things. It's not that he's doing that necessarily for rewards, even though that's a part of it, but we should be doing it because we love the Lord. And we need to be prepared because there will be one day that all of us will depart. and we'll no longer be here. And like Psalm 90 says, it's better to get wise sooner than later about the things of the Lord. All right. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that we've neglected? Denny?
We're going to have something for the fathers after the service.
Okay. Thanks, Denny. And Denny's going to be the one that distributes that. So you'll get an opportunity to have up and close personal time. And I do sincerely wish all of you a great day for Father's Day. Kim and I, we had something very simple planned. Our kids are, I see someone pointing. Kimmy. We need to do that as well. Yeah. Trust you'll have a beneficial week at camp. Kim and I had planned to go down and eat lunch at the depot at Burlington today, one of my favorite places to hang out. But we're not going to do that. We have other commitments now, and so we have her dad to deal with. But I'm enjoying Father's Day. I've always enjoyed my kids most of the time. But we have some other events planned where we'll all, Lord willing, gather together. But take some time today. One of the superintendents at Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago used to tell all the people that were there in the mission, write something to your mother today on Mother's Day or contact your mothers. But I'm going to follow, I think it was Harry Saulnier, Hallelujah Harry. But remember your dad today. And if he's still alive, take some time. Take some time and at least acknowledge, thank you. You know, the Bible says we're to honor our parents. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for your dad, you wouldn't be here. So even if he was a scoundrel and everything else, you still have a debt of gratitude. But many of our dads were men, I believe, that set good examples. And I'm thankful for that today. Now, you'll have to help me get on track here. Offering and announcements, if there's no other... Oh, we did announcements, that's right. Let's pray at this time for the offering. And we're going to pray during this time for those that are headed to camp this week. For a safe journey, but also for an impact of the word as we get away with God. So let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to approach you today, which ordinarily would not be afforded to us because we are not worthy, but because one that is worthy stood in our place and took our sin in our place and the punishment, shed his blood. We today are able to approach you through the benevolence of Jesus Christ. And we thank you today, Lord, that the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit are praying on our behalf. We thank you that Jesus is a wonderful attorney. He's pleading our case before the throne. And that he says, don't hold that against them when he looks at our sin. Father, I paid that price with shown through my shed blood. So we're privileged people here today, Lord, to know you. And we're privileged again to be able to see the example of our Heavenly Father and what he has done. I pray you'll help us, Lord, today as earthly fathers to get it right. And Lord, we pray for our children today in general. Lord, this is a wicked and perverse generation that we have before us today. And you told us as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So, Lord, we have a great responsibility in our world to stand firmly on your word. Help us to do that today as fathers and mothers. Now, I pray for Autumn and for Emma as they head for camp this week. I pray once again, Lord, that you'll give them refreshment, that this will be a dynamic week. I pray for the speakers and the other folks that are working at camp. Lord, I pray for families today, families that are rent apart, families that are not putting you first. Lord, we need so much help, but you've got it there to give us, and I thank you for that. Now, Lord, as this is also an opportunity to thank you for the gift and the giver, the possibilities today as people have been directed to give, both monetarily, but of themselves, Lord, to you and to your cause. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us guidelines about those things, but yet your grace prevails. And, Lord, may this be a time that we search our hearts and your word as to how we respond to you. We know this, Lord, you've given it all, and you've given your best to us. Now I pray that you'd also give us an attitude of worship today and prepare our hearts for a look into the word. Lord, help us to be challenged, especially today as fathers. And and that we would respond in a way that is positive toward you and would be beneficial for all, including ourselves, that we encounter. Now we ask these things, and we love you today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Reminder, are you anchored to the solid rock who is Jesus? Well, today I think there is a handout that was circulated here recently for our second hymn, and that's entitled Thou Art Worthy. And again, we're talking here about God. He's the only one that is truly worthy. So let's sing through this morning. We'll do it twice, and then we'll have our special music. This morning in that very thing. Thank you. All right. Would anyone object if I sit down this morning to speak? Thank you. I appreciate that. Jesus, you know, did a lot of teaching in a sitting position. In fact, when he taught in the Sermon on the Mount, he took a classical position of teaching. And I've seen illustrations of that before. But he actually sat in a certain way, and he would have held teaching materials or seated himself in a position that was beneficial for learning. But I thank you for your tolerance on that this morning. And again, I greet you in Jesus' name. This is Father's Day. Are there big activities planned for everyone today? Yeah, I told Kim just a lunch meat sandwich. You know, that's when we celebrate our anniversary, sometimes we just go have a hamburger. But no, we have some good times, and we were actually going to go down now to Burlington. The Zephyr, the eastbound Zephyr, is late today, and we could have sat there and had our sandwiches. But I do think today, as Kim's dad has gotten to a point where he's quite elderly and maybe not the greatest of health, that we need to invest that time in a better place today. But fathers, it's a great place to be, isn't it? Yeah. And young people, young men here today, I know we live in a culture today that tries to distort the God-given roles, the gender roles, and so forth, but God has a purpose in fatherhood. It's more even than procreating the race, but what it really has to do with is God's image being shown through fathers to their children. And so I want to encourage all of us here today as fathers, wherever you're at in that trek, not to give up the ship, but to, yes, but I was talking ship with one P, Judy, sorry. But that too. But hang in there with God. And I'll guarantee us, because of what God says, that he'll bless fathers that turn to him. And it, you know, we have a resource through the Lord Jesus Christ and the examples of God the Father in the Bible that will help us. We're going to look into some of that today. But today, you may think I'm a little off my rocker, but we're going to talk about God's cosmetics applied to men. Well, we'll talk about that a little further here today. But I am a believer that God wants us to wear his cosmetics. And men ought to be wearing them. Because, folks, in our own makeup, we're not very pretty. But when we allow God and his ways to prevail in our life, we become very attractive. Not only to the Lord, but to our children and to the places that God would use men. Especially in the role of fatherhood. So the title of our message is Applying God's Cosmetics, a Message for Father's Day. We will be in the book of Titus, Paul's epistle to Titus, toward the end of your New Testament, and whether it's on your devices or on a paper Bible, and that will be the sole, well, there's one other text that we'll look at as well from the Scriptures this morning. But before we go any further, we need to pray and ask God to help all of us here today, including myself. Father, thank you for the opportunity and the accessibility of access to your throne through prayer. And so today, Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray for the males here in particular, especially those that are fathers and have offspring that are under their accountability. And for young men that are here today that may anticipate one day being involved in that role as well, that we would, Lord, again, seek your face this day. And realize that we are so vulnerable in our world, our sin-racked and cursed world. We need your help. We need your intervention, Lord, every step of the way in all things related to men and fatherhood. So I pray today that this would be a day that would strengthen us all as we look into your word, but especially that it would to the men. And Lord, today that this would be a day that we not only bask in those little things, the cards, the favors, the well wishes, but Lord, that this is a God-ordained position that we're in. And it's one that, again, is highly accountable, but highly esteemed of God. Help us, Lord, to get it right and to apply those cosmetics. Now, Lord, I need your help specifically to deliver this today, and I pray you'll give me that strength and that ability and that the power of the Holy Spirit would rest upon me and, Lord, would be active here today as he convicts, comforts, and works on the hearts of the hearers here today. So we'll give this time to you now today for your work in your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I'm sorry, but I still can't do the sitting down thing. I'm going to try to stand. It's just not my nature. But anyway, friends in Christ and fathers in particular, and this is a message that's relevant to everyone, because behind every good man and good father is a good what? A good woman and mother. And men, you should have put some things around your ribs today if that special lady's next to you, because I'm sure that some of these points today, they're going to be going, see, I told you, and jabbing you in the ribs, right? Anyway, may all the fathers here today have a pleasant day in your honor, and I truly mean that today. This morning, a message of exhortation and encouragement for fathers for success in the eyes of God. You know, oftentimes we may not be perceived as successful even in our children or our spouse, but what we really need to strive for, dads and men, fathers to be, young men here in our midst this morning, is successful in the eyes of God, in the role that has been given to us by God. We take this for granted. I could preach on that this morning, but I'm not going to. But we know the attacks and the failures of fathers, attacks on and failures of fathers, especially in the day which we live. Let me tell you something, it's not popular to be a biblical father in our world today. Most of the current is against that. And I'm talking here about media, I'm talking about the relationship between the sexes, and the thoughts of how people operate today, and Satan's muddled world and faulty thinking. But let me tell you, it's not easy. And as I said, I won't go there this morning, you know it already. And you will be able to self-evaluate your situation today from the text that we're going to explore and under the teaching and conviction of the master teacher, the Holy Spirit. Bottom line is this, that God forgives if we seek it. And that's the thing I want to start with today as we look through some of these admonitions that Paul gave to Titus, is that God is still there today for us. He's willing to forgive us for errors. You know, things that have happened in the past can be corrected through God, through His grace, and things toward the future can be improved if we'll do it God's way. And I encourage us all to remember that. He still cares about us, and He cares about fathers. God offers help conditionally if we what? If we turn to His ways and to His Word, right? And if you have breath yet today, there is hope in seeing damage repair for your situation, if that needs to be done. And I have to say this, I think all fathers have made errors. And I have, and someday if you'd like to talk to me, or I may do it publicly. I don't think this is the forum this morning to do that, but I have made errors in rearing my children. And the thing is, folks, not only is it because I'm human and a sinner, but in some cases I've not listened to what God said. And I think every father in this room could say that. None of us could stand up here today and say, I had it all figured out and I did it right. Ladies, don't forget that that's the case with us. We know you're all perfect, but we're not. Just kidding. We're all in the same boat here, folks. You show me a perfect father, you know, you better let me know, other than our Heavenly Father. And ladies, you know, you're not perfect either. We all face challenges, but God is there to help us. But He sets the standard. But there can be much emphasis for good from a father that lives out the best he can the truths of God's Word. I believe fatherhood, to a large extent, is living by an example. But we'll see five things this morning that we'll work through that will help us from Paul's letter to Titus. Incidentally, as I mentioned about the cosmetics, I do mean that men should wear God's cosmetics. And no, I am not becoming woke to the current culture. But I firmly believe that we need to be woke to God's culture. You see, and fathers, we need to lead the way. This is the one turn, except for being in the book of Titus. Genesis 18:19. Genesis 18:19. Now, God is dealing with Abraham here, and I just want to set the standard for this about what we're talking about this morning, about what God told Abraham and about the role that fathers have. And according to the book of Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6, fathers are the ones that are responsible to train their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers! Fathers. But here's what God told Abraham. Genesis 18:19. For I know him, God says about Abraham, that he will what? He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And by the way, what did God do for Abraham? He blessed him continually. Was Abraham faulty? Yes. But God knew this, that Abraham would do it as best he could for the Lord. And because of that, he was blessed. Fathers, don't forget that. That sets the baseline for everything. Would God count you worthy today as a father? That's a good question to ask. But let me tell you, even if you haven't done that, he's committed that you should. And as long as we have breath, we need to respond to him and see the results come from that. So now we're back into Titus chapter 2. Now you have a worksheet in front of you. I haven't filled the sheet out and there's no blanks. You just can jot down some things, but there's five basic points here that we're going to cover. So let's go into Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. And your first point here is this, and you just have the words, but fathers need to have a mind for and speak irrefutable truth to your offspring. Irrefutable truth is what we find in the Bible as the word doctrine. But the bottom line here is that we need to speak. If you could talk about men in general, you would probably all agree here today that men have a difficult time, and I'm having it right now, articulating what they want to say. Is that true? And especially in the day that we live, we're so afraid that we're going to fail, that someone's going to laugh at us, or that we're going to be made to look faulty. Oftentimes, men need to be speaking rather than being silent today. And in a lot of cases, the ladies like it that way. Now, this is not a day to come down on the ladies. But men, you need to speak up. Not about the wrong things, but about God's things. About irrefutable truth. Fathers, have you ever lied to your children? I can stand before you and say today, I do not believe I ever told a lie to my children about doctrinal things. I'm not going to be so bold to say that I did not tell them something that was wrong, or maybe in fun made poor choices about some of the things I spoke about, okay? And let me tell you, we have some wing-dinger discussions at the Brown House. We still do to this day. Yesterday was hectic and chaotic, but we had a little time to eat a sandwich under the tree. And, we have some fun. And there's probably things that we shouldn't do, and I should lead the way on that. Not that we're out there doing abominable things, but even how we handle ourselves with talking about things and joking about things and so forth. It's not off color. But just recalling people that we've encountered over the years and how they've... Well, I'm thinking of the corn sheller man. You know, I told him yesterday, not the whole family was back, but we ate some lunch under the shade, but I said, we got to get to going. And then I went to my truck and I started to look for tools, Kim. I said, Kim, do you want to mimic me how I... Kim! Or everyone, who took the ball peen hammer out of my truck? It was here just 2 days ago. Kim, would you like to confess? I found the hammer about 7 o'clock last night on one of Kim's projects. I blamed Mark and Greg or the grandsons for getting in the truck. I didn't really blame them, but I said, now I know someone has been in this truck and taken these tools. That shouldn't have been how I operated, though, should it have? But yet, I still believe that I need to speak out about things like that. If you take a tool, put it back. Right? You understand what I'm saying, I hope. But we need to speak out about the right things. Did I do that all correctly yesterday? No. And I acknowledge that. What else was missing too, Kim? There's a tape measure that's gone too. What are we talking there, Doug? Refresh me. Oh, yeah. I shouldn't even tell these things. You could go out in our building at home and find about 20 gas cans that are missing the caps. They are not my gas cans. Well, they were. But I struggle sometimes to find two cans that have the lids on them yet. This is the Brown household. Kim, boys, grandsons, when you use a gas can, put the cap back on it. In love. We've all been there, haven't we? Yeah. But folks, some of that has to be spoken because that's also truth. But what really needs to be spoken is doctrine. Irrefutable truth of God. By the way, we do have theological discussions at our place. Boys and I and the girls and anyone that's around. We don't always agree on everything, but we talk it. And we've had many a time, haven't we, Kim, in the kitchen where people pulled up chairs and we've talked for 2 or 3 hours and then what did old dad say? Say it, Kim. What? We got to get going. We got stuff that's got to be done. But that was good stuff. Anyway, here it is, verse 1. See what Paul told Timothy or told Titus? He said, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." A father that speaks the truth about things, and hopefully in love, has a great influence over his children. Now, I admit, probably I've been a little too grouchy about things over the years, like that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, I think if people would have listened, it would have been better. I do. And I know there's things that I didn't take into account that my father told me that would have been a beneficial thing for me, too. But we're never going to go wrong speaking God's truth, the doctrines of God. So that's the first thing. Fathers, know how to speak, when to speak, and speak the truth of God's word in love. Second word that you have on your thing, and if I'm on, I have a copy of it here, but I don't want to turn to it. And it's not laziness, it's just time consuming. But it's the word live, is that correct? So we're going to begin on that point in verse 2. Because what Paul's telling Titus here, he says this. He says, speak the doctrine, and the purpose of it, we'll find here, then is that you live that afterward. That we live a different way. That we live according to the truth. Verse 2. That the aged men may be sober. Well, that's not just talking about the lack of intoxicating beverages or substances, although that would be good truth to talk to people, not to get involved in that kind of a thing or many other addictive, sinful things that will be costly and will give us trouble. But what he's talking about here in particular is he says, be serious about spiritual and life issues. Be serious about spiritual and life issues. So when, by the way, I think my boys, I give them credit this morning, and this is all, they'll hear this. They're good fence builders. And you know how we learned all that stuff is doing it together. But I think they're much better fence builders than I am. They're into hedge posts. Some of you don't even know what those are. But they're cutting and buying hedge posts, and they're putting up good fence. I tell you what, that's a lost art. They hate doing it. I always did too, although it's very satisfying to see a nice new tight fence put up. But regularly, and you know, I give them credit for that. But we used to do those things together, And they would never claim this now, but I showed them a lot of these things, how to put braces in and how to put wire and stretch it. And we learned these things as we walked through life. And we didn't go out there lollygagging around, but we learned. And we need to be serious about the spiritual issues. And yes, we did talk about spiritual and life issues along the way. It also says there that the aged men and the older people, the older men need to teach the younger. That's the idea here. That's a father. But not only to be sober or serious, but to be what? Grave. Not in the grave, but that we would be appropriate in our conduct. I can stand before you today and say I have not always been appropriate in my conduct. You heard a little taste of that. I shouldn't get so upset about a ball peen hammer being gone. Should I? But the fact of the matter is, we need to live appropriate Christian conduct as fathers. I admit to you, I have not always done perfectly in those areas. Probably you have not either. But it's serious stuff. Everything is not a lollygagging laugh. Some things are very serious that we need to communicate to our children. The next word that we find there is temperate. Well, temperate, and again, I'm exposing myself today, but I don't have to do that, but I choose to do it. Temperate means mild-mannered, under control of the Holy Spirit, not other agendas that influence our life. If I could admit to you today, there's probably two things that brought about some of those trials in my life. Maybe some of you other men can reflect in that too. And probably through the years, there's two things specifically that would have an impact on that. It's the lack of time and the lack of money. Operating the farm, doing those kind of things, being under pressure to see things accomplished and not always having the full resources that we need to do it in a way that was easier. That makes a difference. Maybe some of you men are struggling, fathers, in that regard this morning. But folks, I believe again, if we'll place those things under the control of the Holy Spirit without other agendas and become mild-mannered toward God and toward our children, we'll see results from that. What do you guys think about that? What do you gals think about that? I know that the ladies can't be preachers, but I think Mrs. Brown could do some preaching. And probably many of you other ladies could as well. That might be beneficial for us men. I didn't hear any response about that. But along with that, that word temperate means to be, again, mild-mannered, but also to what? To be cautious how we handle ourselves. I'll tell you what, a dad that's a person that consumes mind-altering substances or gives direction about all these things, porn, all kinds of other addictions, whatever it might be, it's not going to be a profitable thing. Not going to be a profitable thing. But also notice here, sound in the faith. I think we have a problem with that in dads, even that are claimed and profess to be born-again dads today. They really aren't that active in God's work. Maybe because they aren't active in the study of the Word of God themselves. And they're what we would call admirers rather than what? Those that are fully engaged in a Christian walk. Sound in the faith, that have a faith walk that has a track record that people can see, including their kids. And then go ahead. In charity, sound in the faith, in charity, that they be lovers. I admit I've struggled with that at times. And I've struggled with the one that comes after that, patience. Patience. I'm sure all of us today, the Spirit's speaking to our hearts, as dads especially today, and we're saying, yeah, I've struggled in some of these areas. But Paul told Titus, he said, this is what the older men are to teach the younger. And they're to live it by example. Speaking is appropriate, but living is also appropriate. And I have to say, living has a lot of weight. Talk is cheap, but reality and the life that we exemplify before our children is very important. Now we're going to go down to verse 6. We're going to skip a little bit here. The third blank is what? Or not blank, but the third word?
Teach.
I know this is a Baptist church, but we've danced around that already a little bit this morning. Now we need to meet it a little more head on. Teaching. We heard the speaking and so forth, but now the teaching, which does include speaking. But it's teaching irrefutable truth or doctrine by example. Let's look at verse 6. Paul, again, going on with what he said with that little interlude there of those verses down to chapter 6. He comes back and he says, to teach the young men likewise to be serious-minded, sober-minded. So we have this concept again of the older teaching the younger. Dads are a teaching role. And now you see it here. He says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. That's where we get the idea here of teaching through living. Teaching through a living example. And he goes on there and he says, obviously, good works, positive things, doing things God's way. And then he also includes again in doctrine, he's talking about the accurate teaching of irrefutable truth from the Word of God to your children in a living setting. So yesterday, it should have been, I'm missing my ball peen hammer. I think I'll sit under the tree for a while. But what I should have really said, though, is not that necessarily either. But I'm missing my ball peen hammer. Could you help me find it? I don't know what's happened to it. Maybe the Lord didn't want me to have it today. Doesn't the Bible say a soft answer? You get what I'm talking here. By the way, our children have a pretty good rendition of me. Don't they, Kim? It gives Kim and the kids something to laugh about at times. Kim! Anyway. Notice here, showing uncorruptness. I could not imagine today if my dad, Edward Brown, had been a corrupt person. I'm not here to brag on him. He made mistakes, but never did he teach me corrupt ways. And I've challenged my boys about things they do. I think we are going to either make a decision. We're either going to live for Jesus and we're going to stand for what's right, or you're going to open the gate to all kinds of things. But let me tell you this, our children see what we do, and they're more tempted to do it if they see us do it. And they're less tempted to do it if they see a pattern where we haven't done the wrong things. Live uncorruptly before God. Showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Gravity just means the seriousness of our situation before God. And sincerity about your walk with God as you teach the reality of the things that happen in our life and in our walk with God. But let me just say this, folks. I think there are many men today that encourage wrong and immoral behavior. Not only from speaking it, but in their life. I'd have a hard time with a dad like that, even though I still have to love him. And that goes on further. There's a lot of people out here that have earthly fathers, but you know what? They haven't had a real father. And we as Christian men, we need to be there to uphold those examples in love to them as well. There is a terrible shortage of biblical fathers. Sad. Verse 8, notice here under the living, or the teaching through the living, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's how we live in front of people. Sound speech. It's not a thing for a dad to be involved in corrupt stories. all types of things. But our speech really shows where our heart's at, doesn't it? It's an important thing. All right. Now the next one on your sheet. Encouragement, right? Or exhortation? Encourage? Fathers need to be encouragers according to what Paul told Titus here. I reference this down to verse 9 of this chapter. And here's a lesson, again, that fathers need to teach. It's not how to scam people. It's not how to circumvent what's right, but it's how to do things the way God wants it done. And we need to encourage, or I have it here in my notes, we need to build toward these things as dads. And here's what Paul says here. He says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining or stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I think I can legitimately say in front of you today, my boys wonder about a lot of things that go on. They see all the corruptness that goes on. But you know what I tell them? God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. You don't know some of the things that cross our minds in this day, these days that we live. Right, Kim? That we've even talked about. But I'm telling you what, we need to teach and we need to encourage toward the right things and give them confidence and ourselves when we think of doing it our way and doing things that may be unethical to do it right. No matter what people do, give them what they've hired you to do or what the agreement has been. Don't steal. I believe this today, that many fathers teach stealing. It may not be that they go out and hold up a store or a bank, but they teach ways to work the system that are corrupt. How many of us have ever stolen from our employer? Don't answer me, but I would say that most of us here have in one way or another. Doesn't mean that you nicked something and took it. Not like Johnny Cash. I got it one piece at a time. But have you ever stolen time? I brought that up to the crew one time at the barrel plant when they appeared up at the time clock at about 12 minutes till quitting time, waiting to punch their cards. But you know, one thing I did among many that were wrong at the barrel plant is I tried to show them God's ways of doing things. That it's better to work hard, then you go home with pay when the work's all done, than to stand and wait for the clock to go down at 10 to 5. Because technically, whose time are you on? You're on the person that has given you a job. And you owe them what? All the time that they're due, that you're getting paid for. Anyway, you get the idea. But we need to be encouragers. We should serve to seek to please those that we labor for with no back talk, no response. You don't need the last word, by the way. Did you ever think that sometimes silence is better than words? Amen. Bible says that too, you know, be few with words. Silence sometimes has its places to be. And then verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, we skip 10 technically, but fidelity, that's the thing there, doing what we say. And in verse 10, the whole point of the message, I got to go back to that. That we may adorn, that's the word cosmeo in the Greek. That's where we get the word cosmetics. It's spelled with a K in the Greek. But that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior at all time. What Paul is telling Titus here through the Holy Spirit is, he says, put on God's cosmetics. Amen. Fathers, I mean, the women are mentioned in here too, but today we're talking about the fathers. Have you put on God's cosmetics? Because let me tell you something, folks, we're not very pretty without them. That's what that word adorn means, that we may wear it, live it out. But it's not what we've pasted on ourselves, it's what God brought out of us through living for Him. Fathers, that's attractive to God, and it is to others as well. But also in verse 11, as I just read, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And this is another thing that we need to encourage people with. And that it's, that salvation is available to all. And that salvation is by God's grace. We need to encourage that in front of our children and those that we operate around as fathers. Now we're coming down to the end here. We have just one more, right? In just a couple verses. But verse 12. "Teaching us," and again, we already looked at teaching, "but teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live," there's why it's in this category, "live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And what we need to do there is to encourage our children and others around us as fathers to live God's way in a world that defies Him. Live God's way in a world that defies Him, that shows a noticeable, refreshing difference. That's what we need to encourage our children with. Verses 13 and 14. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." That's a big encouragement whenever I get down. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is in control. And we have hope because of that. Don't ever forget, people, the people apart from God have no hope, the Bible says. None. Our hope only is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to encourage our children as fathers and those around us to have hope in Jesus Christ. And to be prepared, again, to meet our Savior. Because it says here in 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We need to be encouraging, again, ourselves and those around us to be prepared to meet our Savior, who is Jesus. And the hope that we have and the positive outlook because of it. "He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." When we do it God's way, we're going to be unique. And we're not going to be compatible with the world. And fathers, we need to teach our children and those around us to live in such a climate and to let God prosper us. And don't worry about what the world has to say. Now we're down to the last point, and we're late, I know. And it's the one, what? Rebuke. What's it mean to rebuke? Set straight. Correct. Hopefully gently. You know, I put that there for a reason. Because dads need to do that. And I don't think I said that yesterday, did I, Kim? Because our kids are they're becoming middle-aged people now. Kim and I are getting elderly. You know, but when they were younger, I said, put the hammer back, because then when you need it, you know where you can. That's pretty harsh, isn't it, for a dad to teach something like that? How many hammers do you think there are on the Brown farm? Where do you could we find them all today? But in all fairness, we do have a lot of different machines and different things. And occasionally, I don't get out on the farm anymore to till the soil, unless I'm invited. I have been invited to help bale straw. I still know how to work on knotters on balers. I'm still valued a little bit. Interestingly, as you go through the farm or farms, you find crescent wrenches, hammers, grease guns, all kinds of things that came up missing. They were lost, but now they're found. I believe today if we needed a hammer, we'd find one, but we'd find that most of them, we could not tell you where they are at. Thoughts on that, Kimmy? Put stuff back so you know where to find it next time. That's a rebuke. Well, it's in here. Notice in 15, he comes back to the speaking, but he says, "These things speak and exhort," or encourage, that was our point here before rebuke. But along with that, he says what? Rebuke with what? I want to tell you something today. Not from what I'm saying, but from what God's Word says. Fathers have a responsibility to set the standard and to rebuke when things go out of whack. Don't get mad at your dad when he tries to tell you the right things. Thank God for him. I was rebuked by my father about lots of different things. But I'll stand here today and, you know, I wonder about my dad a lot. But I don't think he ever gave me, well, he did give me wrong advice, but it wasn't of this type of advice. He told me not to buy some farms for $950 an acre. But you know what? He'd been through the Depression. His timing was only off about 50 years. But you know what? I could have lost it all too. So maybe he was right. But the point is, he set me straight. And that's what our Heavenly Father does with us too, folks. Maybe some of us today are under some rebuke of God. Well, listen, we need to snuggle up in His lap and say, "My Daddy, I want to listen to you today." But rebuke. Fathers need to correct when it's needed, no matter what others may think. It is your God-given authority and your responsibility to do it in love. This is an appropriate response as a godly father. We're done here as soon as I get said the last thing I want to say. Those are your points. I hope you got a few things out of them. Well, there you have it, fathers. I admit I need God's cosmetics applied to my life. I'm telling you that today. The job isn't done. I've got some places that are needing fixed. Needs applied to my life that I can help my family and others. I don't think it's too late for our family, do you, Kim? You know, I still believe God will bring some of our children right back here to Fruitland. I believe that could happen. That I can help my family and others to see Jesus in me in a more appealing way. Maybe some of us ought to be admitting to God our failures. You know, I stand up here every Sunday. We call it an altar call, but it's an invitation to respond to God. I don't stand here. Well, I should sit on that stool, but I stand here because I need it every time. Where's everyone at? We need it, and God's here to help us. We just got to admit it, but I admit it to you all the time. Maybe we ought to admit to God our failures and our sin and our getting and get squared away and right with Him and our kids, our wives, and others, that our paths cross in life. Maybe there is a dad who needs the Savior's forgiveness this morning. If we have a dad here that does not know the Lord, I'll tell you what, that is a recipe for trouble. Maybe not in the world, in their eyes. Don't you ever forget, you're responsible for the souls of your children. It's time to stop running and hiding. Go for help. Time to let God put His cosmetics on us. It's none too early to get with it. And with that said, happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymnal, or we've got it on the screen. 458. Let me just say this. This is a hymn that always tugs at my heart. Draw Me Nearer, 458. But today, if God's speaking to your heart, don't resist Him. Come to Him. He's calling you today. Maybe there's someone that needs help. I need help. I can't fix your troubles, but God can. But I can show you and encourage you where to go for help. And it's not too late, no matter where we're at, or too early as a young man to dedicate what He may have for you and the children that He may give you one day. This is a prayer. Draw me nearer, precious Lord. to your cross. The cross of Calvary is the answer, folks. Jesus is the only thing that can help us. He's the only one. Let's sing this today. You respond to the Lord, whether it's at your seat or you do come forward. It will not be the worst thing that ever happens. It might be the best if you publicly come and ask God to help you today. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice as it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. You know, I'm going to give one quick opportunity as we sing that refrain again for someone to step out today to Jesus, for a dad specifically that's struggling. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, near, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Lonnie, you got your part of your flock here today as a dad. Will you close in prayer for us?
God, thank you, Lord.